Hey everyone, welcome in. You know we are deep in political season and also in national prayer season. And in my mind and heart, they go together. We have apparently a dog barking, which is a phone. Anyway, welcome in again, everyone. As I say, we're deep in political season. We're also in national prayer season. And in my mind and heart, they go together. My name is Barbara, and as always on Tuesdays, you have a seat at the Speak Up table. And today, we have a candidate for Pondere Hospital trustee position, Cynthia
Busey.
And then we will turn our attention to the National Day of Prayer with Pastor Ken Lawrence. So don't go away. There's a lot going on. And let's get our first break out of the way right now.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Leadership Sandpoint, a program of the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, is holding their annual Cinco de Mayo block party in downtown Sandpoint on Friday, May 5th.
The fiesta is on Main Street between 1st and 2nd Ave from 4 to 8 p.m. and features numerous food, beer, and wine vendors, music, raffles, kid activities, and more.
This year's beneficiary is UCAN, a gym for special needs individuals. Don't miss the Cinco de Mayo block party Friday, May 5th in downtown Sandpoint.
For more information, contact the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce.
Spring is here, and it's time to see what's new at Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade, open weekdays, and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Pondere. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
DQ presents The Sound of Summer Calling.
Hey, it's me, Summer. I know you're busy with Beach Day's Little League games and all the other fun in the sun, but you gotta get to DQ ASAP, pronto, right now. The new Summer Blizzard menu is here, and it brought five iconic summer flavors, like new peanut butter puppy chow and s'mores. Oh yeah, it's back. Oh, that's my other line. Everyone is pumped about this new DQ Summer Blizzard menu. I gotta go. See ya, DQ.
Get it in the app. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Eleanor's diagnosis is acute myeloid leukemia.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Immediately when we got here, you get a nurse that walks around with you like for the first 3 days you're here to kind of give you the lay of the land and where to go. They know you're already drowning from the news that you're getting and why you're here, so they don't want you to have to figure stuff out by yourself. I know, like, you're here and you're not supposed to be happy or you're not supposed to smile, but it's hard not to when there's this giant community of strangers all working towards one goal. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what they believe. They are all fighting to end childhood cancer, and I think that's something that should be celebrated.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Say hello and welcome with me to Cynthia Busey. Cynthia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Barbara, thank you for inviting me.
All right, thank you. I'm going to take a minute, folks, right up front before I get into it with Cynthia, because I want to address the fact that no other candidate for the Pondere Hospital trustee position was willing to come on the air and talk with you, the voters, who have to make the choices this May 16th election. Every candidate, I assure you, was invited and encouraged to be here. We even had an extra broadcast day set aside to accommodate ample time for all the candidates. But to a person, all four of the other candidates said no. Incredibly, three of those were incumbents and one another challenger. All four were unwilling to talk about the work and the decisions of the hospital taxing district, and clearly they wanted to stay mute, apparently, on their service on that board. Actually, I can't remember another time in all the years that I've done this that candidates were unavailable, either in person or by phone, to talk to the community, to talk to the voters. So with that said, a special thank you and welcome, Cynthia, to you again. You are seeking the people to vote for you, and you are willing to talk about it.
Yes.
All right. So let's start. Tell the audience about your work experience and what you can bring to the hospital taxing district.
Yes. A little bit about my background. I was born and raised in a small town in California where people had good community values. Neighbors took care of each other. The community cared about each other. And very, very much like our beautiful Sandpoint and Bonner County area. My background is I started working when I was 12 in the orchards in Santa Clara Valley, and worked my, and then in 64 when I left high school, I started in working various full-time jobs in the secretarial area, different things. Worked for Texas Instruments when I lived in Texas. And then in 1978, I was a single parent and found out that Port of Seattle and Seattle Police Department were hiring fully commissioned women police officers. And so I looked into it and was hired by the Port of Seattle Police Department. I served from 1978 to 1994. I spent a good time in patrol. And also was elevated through the detective test for detective department. It was a wonderful career. In 1994, I left, and I started from the ground up a small hay and cattle ranch over in Trout Creek, Montana. That was my dream. I was there until 2000. My folks got not well where I grew up. I went down to take care of them. Oh, by the way, I was going to move to Sandpoint at that time, too. Took a little detour and took care of my folks and stayed a little longer and returned here in 2019. And I call Sandpoint my heart home.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah.
Yes, and I've run, owned and operated small businesses by myself, owner-operator. I was a single parent. My finance background is just nuts and bolts, grassroots financing, keeping a sharp pencil. And all my companies succeeded, and I was able to raise my kids, and they turned out great.
So I'm hearing one of the things of your experience is kind of a fiscal, as you say, nuts and bolts experience as a business owner, as a full-time employee, I mean, of the Seattle Police Department, raising a family. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things you anticipate bringing to the taxing district. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Bringing and keeping a sharp pencil.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means accountability and transparency. In other words, I understand that this board is given from our tax monies here in West Bonner County this last year, $1.4 million. And that money is allocated to the Pendere Hospital taxing district, goes through the board, who meets once a month. Then the hospital, a Bonner General Hospital, a private corporation, for-profit hospital, requests monies each month to be given and allocated to three clinics, OBGYN clinic, ear, nose, and throat clinic, and then a mental health clinic. Recently, about two-thirds of the OBGYN clinic have been closed because they're not allowing any more births at that hospital. And that was a huge asset for our community, has a big impact on our community.
Let's now stop right there with the obstetric suspension. You had another comment on that topic?
Well, just that now people, to give delivery, families, ladies, they have to go 43 miles
right
to give birth, if they want to give birth in the hospital setting.
Right. And I think that, Boundary County from Montana, there are women that came in from those distant areas to Bonner General to give birth. Here's what I'm interested in. It seems to me that one of the reasons, there were like three difficult, a little bit to understand reasons why this decision was taken, but one seemed to be financial. And there are two things. I have a question for you. I've been told that the giving birth process, not the ultrasounds leading up to and all the care and that, but actual in the hospital giving birth, that's where the doctors and the nurses and the labs and the money is made. Fairly.
Yes.
I mean, it's the money maker, one of the money makers for the hospital. And birth rates are up. So could some of this taxing district money be allocated to the OBGYN? It already was. So it could be supported to go out and hire another pediatric nurse or whatever they need. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. As I understand it, Barbara, that is correct. However, it's still not going to fill the gap. Mm-hmm. For the monies that were given to that clinic, that particular clinic, the taxing monies that were given. So it's my understanding, talking to other people, that they may try to divide the pie with the ear, nose, and throat clinic and the mental health clinic, which I understand they recently hired a psychiatrist. But that's one of the things I'm going to be, if I'm elected, that's one of the things I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah. Here's one of the things that upsets me about the other candidates, three of whom are incumbents and seem, pretty confident they don't have to come on here and talk to get elected. But I have been told that the ear, nose, and throat clinic is closed or has been, will be closed. In addition to the obstetrics.
I have not heard that.
Okay,
yes.
So, okay, I'll take that off the table then,
yes.
But that's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. So well, what will the $1.4 million be spent on then, do you think? Or how would you spend the one, if they're not going to do obstetrics and possibly the ear, nose, and throat, right, what will the taxing district fund?
Well, I have found through my investigation that monies, taxpayer monies taken from us, to the hospital board has to be spent in the year somehow.
Yes.
And so
I can't believe there's a problem with spending the money. I don't accept that. There is no problem with spending money.
No,
it's
but
just
where?
How where.
And where.
Yeah.
And how the hospital who requests the money, they own and operate the clinics. It's all their employees.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, they just present to the board, need this much money for this clinic, this much money for that clinic, and how much accountability there is, books, transparency, to back that up. I have not been able to find that out.
Okay. I think that's interesting. I have one other comment on the obstetrics closure. One of the current board members who is retiring from the board, Dan Rose, was on the air with me a few weeks ago, and he said that the birth rates, one of the ideas is that the birth rate trend is down, and so therefore they want to suspend it. But birth rates have gone up from 247 to 265,
yes.
I understand, the last year. Now, that's like 5 days a week for a whole year with the weekends off. If you could schedule babies, that'd be a baby a day and then some. That sounds like pretty good money to me.
Absolutely. So The root reason for closing that part of the clinic is still not explained,
mm-hmm,
and proven,
right,
in a common sense, transparent way.
Maybe I would also add in a detailed way.
Yes.
With numbers.
Yes.
Another question, and you may or may not know this because you would be new to the board, but can the taxing district take the money that they receive every year and that they spend every year and spend it someplace other than Bonner General Health?
I don't believe so. I think the tax money's collected for this board and the clinics that are put on by the hospital can only, if there's a clinic added, that has to be done. The contract and the laws through the state that the board operates under would have to be revised. That's my understanding.
Okay. So I'm going to want to find that out, that by law that, you know, our taxing district can't go to, like, Kinexu Health or some other meeting, whatever parameters, health organization, and spend that taxing money someplace other than Bonner General Health. And the reason that I ask that is because of the five members of the seven-member taxing district board and three incumbents that are running, they also sit on the hospital, the private hospital board. So
yes.
The three incumbents that are running also sit on the hospital board. Now, I'm going to say really clearly, in no way am I alleging any kind of malfeasance, nothing's wrong. It's just I just think that there should be a separation of power. The taxing district collects the money. They make decisions about spending, and they're like a client. They're like a consumer. They're like us. They're buying health care of some form. And Bonner General Health is a vendor, a provider. And I don't have a problem with that. I just want them to be separate boards.
Absolutely. And I have looked into that. And what I have found that the Bonner General Hospital, a private for-profit organization, appoints their board members. There's no election. They just appoint people.
Correct.
That they feel, you know, that are going to help their corporation.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the taxing district board
is elected.
Which is elected. What was very interesting to me to find out that of the seven members that sit on the board,
the taxing board,
five of them belong to the Bonner General Private Hospital Board.
Right. Five
now,
of the seven.
I'm a plain talker. And what I say is that potentially, I can't prove it, but potentially, it's a foxes in the hen house situation. I would like to see that changed.
Yeah. Especially if the money can be spent in other directions for other medical opportunities. But that would have to be, and this is exactly what we're talking about now, since Cynthia is a challenger and, you know, she has a learning curve like anyone would who is coming new to something like this if elected. But this is why I wanted the incumbents on the radio answering these questions, telling our voters, you know, what's what from their perspective, and why do they think it's okay to sit on both boards.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we don't get that opportunity.
Yes, that would have been wonderful. So we could hear the, experience right from the people that are in there.
So
that
we know
would have been great.
Who to vote for.
That's right.
One thing, and we've kind of skirted around it here, I'm hearing, but how specifically, in addition to what we've talked about, the boards and that, would you improve the district or an idea that you would have for the district?
Well, the first idea would be to make the monies more transparent, where the taxpayer and the public could go and see the books and see exactly what's being done. That would be the first thing to do. The second thing would be is eliminate any conflict of interest that may or may not exist. And so there's an impartial board of people representing the taxpayer for their best interest and the most bang for their buck.
You know, I was just thinking, even though it may be legal for Bonner General Health to appoint their private board from the elected taxing district board, nothing prevents that. It just seems to me it would be a better idea for them to go to other resources for their board. And if someone retires, like Dan Rose from the taxing district board, well, then he would be eligible to be for Bonner General. I mean, just even though it's allowed, doesn't necessarily make it the best choice.
Absolutely. And I've looked into a bit about changing that through legislation.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like Scott Hearn and I've talked to him, and there's ways to go about. And the best way to go about making changes like that seems to be applying for different changes and rules. There are rules that govern the Pendere Hospital District Board trustee and members. They have to adhere to those rules. So far, there's no rule in there or about the separation between the private hospital and the taxpayer board.
So we're talking about $1.4 million per year that's being spent locally.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And it goes up every year, I've been told. Of course, you know, they'll ask for more, and they will get more. Yeah. And that will appear on your property taxes.
Just go ahead and pay.
You don't have any choice. The choice you have is through voting.
Right.
Through this board and other boards. These elections are viewed to be small elections, insignificant. They really add up. One thing I'd like to point out, I find out there's 74 different boards just in this little county.
Yeah. Well, sewer boards, water boards,
cemetery boards. On and on.
Yeah.
And they're all taking money. And the accountability on the other boards, every taxpayer by voting can find out if their tax money is being spent for their benefit, the benefit of the community, this wonderful, wonderful county we have.
I know that it's true that our Pendere, this is on your ballot, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Pendere Hospital District Trustee. It's a 6-year term, and that's the way it is. I mean, a lot of people, when they see that, they don't even know it's related to Bonner General Health. Pendere Hospital. Everybody says, where's Pendere Hospital? Anyway, it's Pendere Hospital District. And they do have monthly meetings. As you said, the meetings are open to the public. So I just encourage if someone is interested in this, they need to attend the meetings and need to be in touch with you. So Cynthia Busey is on our ballot for May 16th coming up to be a trustee on this board. Cynthia, I thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
I thank you, Barbara.
All right. We're going to take another break, and we're going to do that right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Ken Lawrence, and he has got all the information we need for the National Day of Prayer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Sasquatch.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I know. It's exciting. 8-foot furry mammal walking totally upright. Still, I'm driving to the show tonight, and the radio is talking about how Northern Quest in Spokane, Washington, I guess it's now the largest casino resort in the Pacific Northwest, which is cool, and I'll give them that. But then this guy takes it one step further, calling Northern Quest the most exciting thing in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, how far can they throw an unsuspecting hiker, right? Apparently, they've got the second hotel tower, the casino, the steakhouse, the day spa, the nightclub, the sports book, etc., and a player's club card that lets you earn and redeem points everywhere. I mean, is it just me, or does that sound like an urban legend? Right?
Details at northernquest.com.
Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Pendere, is the best place to recycle your iron, heavy equipment, autos, tin, and appliances. They also pay top dollar for aluminum, stainless steel, copper, and brass. Best of all, they pay you cash. Do you need some culvert, rebar, or new steel for your construction projects? Just call Pacific Steel and Recycling, and remember, they'll pay you cash for your junk vehicle, and will even pick it up. Call Pacific Steel and Recycling in Pendere today at 208-263-2584. That's 263-2584.
Spring is here, and it's time to see what's new at Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade, open weekdays, and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
To say hello to you all again and to, for you to join me to welcome Pastor Emeritus Ken Lawrence. Pastor Ken, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
And all of your service here in the community and River of Life Church. And you've been on the radio with me a lot.
Yes, I think for much of the last 25 years.
I know.
That's how long I've been here.
I know. It's just wonderful. And so I appreciate your coming back. I guess I don't beat you up. I don't beat you up too bad.
No, I enjoy being on with you always.
Well, we're going to talk about this Thursday, May 4th, is National Day of Prayer all across America. So please, let's start. Give our audience when and where it's going to happen here for our community.
So today is Tuesday, and so the National Day of Prayer is Thursday, only 2 days from now. And it will be held, the gathering will be held here in Sandpoint at Farman Park, which most people are familiar with downtown, where the food and vendors and everything
are on
Saturdays and other times. But yes, we will be there, and there'll be music and prayer and sharing, and just a wonderful time of coming together from many different churches.
Yes, it is mm-hmm. an exciting and a powerful and a joyful time. Some of the special plans, so you mentioned music. The music begins at 11:30. Who's providing the praise and the worship music for this event?
I believe that there are folks from different of the churches, particularly, I think, led by, I should be a little more specific on this, but there's a young man named Johnny from Victory Life Church that meets at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoons at the New Life Church building on Boyer. And that young man and part of his team and perhaps some others will be doing the music at 11:30 to 12.
Awesome. And then at 12 o'clock, we begin the prayer. There's pastors will be introduced, and I'm sure you'll be one of them.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been asked to speak about government. We'll speak for a minute or two and then pray.
And then pray.
We try to focus on the prayer end of it.
Right. Indeed. Mm-hmm. So one of the things to share with our audience is there are like spheres of influence in America that each one will be lifted up, and I guess maybe by a different pastor.
That's the way
we
do it usually.
So,
and seven areas or seven mountains of influence,
call
them. Family, church, business, education, military, government, and then the arts and media that would be number seven. So those are the different areas that we approach, and they're some of the most important areas of influence among people worldwide, and especially in the United States. So,
indeed. Well, one of the areas is government. You know, we're called in the Bible to pray, mm-hmm. whether we agree or disagree, mm-hmm. but pray for our leaders, mm-hmm. national and that mm-hmm. and state. And I think that's, it is so important, you know, full stop, to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then to pray certainly for these, as you say, mountains of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Is education on that list?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm going to put that in number two position.
Was
Can
government
I put these
number
in
one?
Government was number one.
It's interesting. I've been asked this year to share a moment and pray for the government,
yes.
and for our view of government. And I believe that's vital right now. And I believe I'm going to emphasize the importance of having the right attitude when we pray for a government. And that's not automatic, because people have very strong ideas both directions in our two-party system,
yeah.
and so on. But we are instructed biblically to pray for our government. And so even though I've feel we are somewhat challenged at present, I believe we need to pray for the whole government and mm-hmm. for the salvation of those that may not know the Lord,
yes.
God, and that His will would be done in spite of the thoughts of people that might want to see harm come to our nation.
Right. And, you know, it's not, I think that, I know that we've got a real mixed group of people listening. We have believers, we have people who are maybe seeking and wondering, and others who would probably say they, you know, they're not yet, but I would say yet believers. But the idea is not condemnation. When you say pray for the national government,
no.
you're not condemning.
That's right.
It's a lifting up. It's
That's
a
right.
asking God to not only save them, but give them wisdom and understanding and patience, and
mm-hmm.
and it's a lifting up kind of prayer.
Yes.
And if
yes.
you're over here condemning, saying, you know, take this person out,
mm-hmm.
no,
mm-hmm.
that's not
that's,
a prayer in
that's
God's
not
will.
Right attitude.
That's not the right attitude. Right?
Years ago, there was a book, and it's still somewhat familiar. What Would Jesus Do? And I think of that, and I'm going to mention that probably on Thursday, when we talk about praying for the government, because we need to pray the way Jesus would talk to his Father about the situation. We need to pray with from our own perspective, a humble attitude, not like we know it all.
Yeah.
I don't know all the answers. I have some ideas.
Right.
But
you know, I put education for me in number two position. And when I think of prayer for education, I think of every type of school, public,
yes.
private, faith-based.
Yes.
Our Muslim people, who they have their schools, to pray that all schools would surrender to the wisdom of the one true God.
Mm-hmm.
But for the teachers and the students and the parents and the school boards, we were mm-hmm. just talking about mm-hmm. A hospital board election on the air. It's just so important to, as I don't know what you call it, but I call it praying. It's kind of like around the world. It's everyone involved, the voters who mm-hmm. vote for levies, who vote for school board mm-hmm. members, pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the prayers. Who would you put in number three? If we have government and education, who's next on the list that you think is up at the top? They're all important.
It's all important. Family, church. Oh yes, it's all important.
I'm going to say church. You hesitated. I'll jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm telling you, we are as broken as anyone,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and no
mm-hmm.
one should ever think that people mm-hmm. of the church have, you know, got it all going on.
That's
we
right.
need prayer. We need to humble
That's
ourselves.
Right.
We need to, you know, really listen for mm-hmm. God's will. It's
mm-hmm.
not automatic. It's
mm-hmm.
not a, you know, it's not just a party time.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging
mm-hmm.
To follow and be a Jesus follower.
That's absolutely true. And I believe that we should be praying for the church, especially in this period of time that we're living in, because so many churches feel they should step back from public discourse, and, you know, they don't want to be yelled at or
unpopular
whatever.
Or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And but we need to stand up. I've been reading a book by Eric Metaxas.
I think.
Amazing. And you just yeah, there's some brilliant people around. Eric writes about Bonhoeffer and compares where we are in our nation right now to the Germany in the 30s.
Yes.
And boy, you need to get a hold of that book if you're a leader and want to know how to lead.
Yeah, this is not the time to pull back. It's a time to step forward in
mm-hmm.
love
mm-hmm.
and in prayer
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
with God. What's another area there? Oh, media.
Media.
I might put media. Of course, family. Always want family. But I might put media next. What do you think the prayers are for media, Pastor Ken?
Well, the media, like all the other areas, are challenged greatly. But arts and media, they say arts and media because of the, you know, all the movies and everything that are being done and artistic things in different ways, but that is a very influential, especially on young people.
Yes,
and so that makes it very, very important. I think all seven mountain peaks are very important.
I know they all are, you know. And as you pray and are led by the Holy Spirit to pray going forward from the day of prayer, to continue the prayer, you know, you can just focus each day on one of those spheres of or
yes.
areas and,
yes.
and pray it through, like media is radio, including radio and mm-hmm. newspapers and magazines and the music and movies. And oh my goodness, mm-hmm. they have such influence on adults and kids. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and billions of dollars.
Right. That's right. Absolutely.
I saw a number, and I'm not going to be able to quote it because I just saw it. It was on a scroll this morning about how many billions of dollars Netflix collects mm-hmm. on movies that are pretty forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, mm-hmm. okay.
Yes. Yes.
That's something else. We're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now.
Roots in your sewer line? Leaks in your underground water pipes? North Point Frenchless can replace those pipes without expensive and damaging trenching. Spare your landscaping, decks, and driveways from disaster. North Point Frenchless also offers horizontal drilling, sewer camera inspections, and general excavation. Call today at 208-304-5712. Visit their Facebook page or northpointtrenchless.com. That's North Point Frenchless, serving the entire Inland Northwest.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-704-9936. 800-704-9936. 800-704-9936.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
DQ presents The Sound of Summer Calling.
Hey, it's me, Summer. I know you're busy with Beach Days, Little League games, and all the other fun in the sun, but you gotta get to DQ ASAP Peranto right now. The new Summer Blizzard menu is here, and it brought five iconic summer flavors, like new peanut butter puppy chow and s'mores. Oh yeah, it's back. Oh, that's my other line. Everyone is pumped about this new DQ Summer Blizzard menu. I gotta go. See ya, DQ.
Get it in the app. DQ. Happy tastes good.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
The Hydra Steakhouse opens 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Come on in for nightly specials, famous prime rib, seafood, chicken, and pasta dinners. Or swing into the lounge with a full bar, try a tasty appetizer, and check out the house-made signature cocktails, beer, and wine.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who buy their tractors at Jordan Sales and Service, and those that wish they did. It's the season of convertible tractors at Jordan Sales and Service. Enjoy the wind in your hair and the sun on your skin. Now is your chance with your new convertible tractor. We sell the full line of TYN and Coyote tractors. Jordan Sales and Service, your rural lifestyle dealer and home of the I Love My Tractor. Located in Post Falls at 715 North Pleasant View Road or online at jordansales.com.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We are talking right now about the National Day of Prayer with Pastor Ken Lawrence. That is this Thursday. That's in 2 days, May 4th, at Farman Park, beginning at 11:30 in the morning with some wonderful praise and worship music, and then the prayer and the pastors will begin. And Pastor Ken, the theme this year is talking about praying fervently and in righteousness. And like I said before, we have a lot of different listeners and different places in their walk with the Lord and their understanding. So, but I think everybody understands fervent prayer. You know, wherever you are, if your child is sick, you know the meaning of fervent prayer, whether you're a believer or not. But the in righteousness part, I think, might be something that people would say, well, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly, to have fervent prayer in righteousness. Mm-hmm. Give us a little lesson today on what does that mean, Pastor?
Well, just a light overview of it. The scripture is taken from James 5:16, the last part. And the title for this year is Pray Fervently in Righteousness and Avail Much. And it's almost like there's some King James words there that a lot of people wouldn't even understand, even though they're very simple words. But but to pray fervently, you mentioned we do pretty much understand. In righteousness I like to think of as right relationship with God. So those of us who follow the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we believe that the whole thing is based upon that relationship aspect with the Son and the Savior, the Messiah. So we pray fervently in right relationship with Him. And that's why I mentioned earlier, that when we talk about, the government, which is kind of right, near the top of my mind a lot at this season and at this time of year and the season we're in longer than a year maybe, but we're always looking at elections and so forth, but we need to pray righteously, and not selfishly. You know, there are things I'd like to see happen. You know, if I could just say, well, God, would you just do this and this and this, and then America will be happy evermore. Well, you know, it's not that simple, not that basic. And we are to relate with God. So our fervent prayer, passionate prayer, is that God will, through the relationship we have with Him, hear and answer our prayer, which He says He will. And His word is just packed from cover to cover with promises that He wants us to appreciate and to speak out. Even our salvation, He says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you know, that He will bring us into His kingdom. And we're praying not only for ourselves, but in the case of a Thursday, we're praying for our government. We're praying for all these mountaintops of influence. But we're praying that people will have a right relationship with God.
It's necessary to pray to the Father in a right relationship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. not that he might not hear your prayers, mm-hmm. but I always think of prayer. We petition, but we also do a lot of listening. So we're listening to what he wants, listening to his will, being observant as to where God is moving and to come alongside him rather than saying, he's got to come alongside mm-hmm, me. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. No, you don't want me mm-hmm. in charge. No, mm-hmm. no. But, yeah, so in righteous prayer, in righteousness is just what you said, in mm-hmm. agreement with God, in aligned up with God, yes. in his will, and in his way and in his wisdom.
One thing I'm going to share, hopefully, in 2 days with my part. I have a brief part. There are several of us that have a brief part. Uh-huh. But I'm going to mention that we need to pray not just on the National Day of Prayer, which is yes. the first Thursday in May. One day a year is nice, but that's only one day. And we need to pray every day. And whether it's government or education, family, all of these areas, we need to be praying and saying, God, show me how to pray. Show me how I speak your word and bring it forth in the people that I know and influence and speak clearly and not because of our expertise or philosophies or whatever, but just because we love God and we want to encourage
just
people
like
to enjoy
Him. Just like you're
talking
to a friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's another thing I want to get in before we run out of time, and that is one of the other things people can do. If they come to the National Day of Prayer beginning at 11:30 this Thursday at Farman Park, you can sign up for a police officer or a sheriff's deputy, a law enforcement person. And you can be a prayer. You can be praying for that person. You mm-hmm. get that name. You pray for that person. Pray for the family, and you can lift that person up for protection and
That's
wisdom
right.
and yes. all good things.
Yes, and protection of life. Yes.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. I did that a few mm-hmm. years ago, but I want to sign up again mm-hmm. For that. So government, education, church, media, family, and so I guess I'll just mention military. Mm-hmm. Just praise God for our military mm-hmm. and what a burden mm-hmm. they bear for us.
Yes.
So that we're free mm-hmm. to pray
yes.
Thursday, May 4th at Farman
yes.
Park.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they protect it.
And there's no guarantee of freedom if people, good people, godly people and righteous people and people who love America. If we don't seek God we could be moving in a poor direction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, I always say armor up, pray up, mm-hmm. and show up.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Show up at Farman Park.
That's right.
On Thursday. Pastor Ken, it is a delight to have you on. I'm going to find another. I don't have to look for another topic. It's always kind of the same topic. It's loving God. Yes, you have
yes.
a thought.
I had a thought. I don't know if the committee would let me do this, but if I speak for just a moment or two at the National Day of Prayer, which I will in 2 days, I'd like to have you be there and interview me. It's just the easiest way for me to talk.
Oh, how much fun that would be. That would be a lot of fun. Anyway, you are a delight. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks to Cynthia Busey, Pastor Ken Lawrence. And next Tuesday, I have an in-depth interview with both of the library candidates, the incumbent Susan Shea, the challenger for that position, Stacy Rodriguez, both here to talk to you, the voters. So until then, this is Barbara saying, please take care and may God richly bless you, my friends.